Tracing lines. We step off the boat and onto land. The clouds have cleared to make way for blue sky, and the water glints and swishes against the concrete pier. The brilliant sun saturates the landscape in colours that sing together in emerald, jade, and sapphire tones. I shut my eyes for a moment and face the sea, enjoying the sensation of the flickering light on my closed lids. I've returned here in my thoughts so many times since my first visit, and now the reality of actually being here brings a sense of relief. I open my eyes. It's good to be back. Stuart from the National Trust is here to greet us and kindly offers to take our luggage up to the guest house. A few of us decide to make our own way up to Tyard House by foot. Nerea leads the way and I fall in step beside her. She looks beautiful in her red beret, framing her dark hair perfectly, and I tell her so. She smiles and explains, "I always wear a beret here, because my grandfather bought a beret for John." Nerea Bello is from the Basque Country. I think she's an incredibly gifted singer. She lives in Glasgow and she's one of two vocalists I've been working with to develop the composition thus far. And Nerea has a special relationship with Canna. Her Basque grandfather was a close friend of John Long Campbell's, and she's been coming here since she was a child. In fact, part of the reason she moved to Scotland was to be close to the Campbells for when they needed extra help during their elderly years. Her aunt Magda continues to live on the island and is the archivist at Canna House. Nerea talks fondly of her memories exploring the island, collecting bloodstones that have washed up from rum, smoothed and shaped by the tide, and of the Campbells, how as a child she would go into John's workroom where she sat transfixed while he played her recordings of Gaelic songs. For Nerea, it really is like coming home. By strange coincidence or by fate, the journey of making away with the birds has led to this small island, a meeting point between Gaelic culture and natural wonder. I asked Nerea if it's strange for her to be coming back here with work, without her family. "Yes, I have to share my island with you," she jokes. "But it is important for me to experience Canna differently. I usually bring the kids, so this time I can be more reflective." We take a right turn off the road just before Canna House and walk along the narrow footpath up through the woods. The hawthorn bushes are dotted with ruby berries, highlighted in the dappled light. There is chattering behind us. Lucy and Daniel are catching up, and we arrive simultaneously at Tyard. We flock together. Laughter fills the air, and it feels as though people are bonding. I have a growing sense of being part of this team, a sense of our working towards something together. But also, alongside these feelings, I'm aware that I need to prepare to let go of something within myself, to let go of being the sole author of this work, Away with the Birds, and allow others to enter. This project is not completed when it fulfills my vision as an artist, but when I trust the work itself, it finds completeness in our shared experience. We gather in the garden and survey the dazzling panorama, peeling off layers of clothing. "Aren't we lucky with the weather?" we exclaim. It almost feels like summer. To make the most of the sun, Lucy, Nerea and I decide to go for a walk up to Compass Hill, which lies on the eastern edge of the island. We leave Tyard and make our way through a field, past a small green summer house that sits nestled under the trees amongst the ferns. Nerea tells us that John Long Campbell built this as a surprise gift for his wife, Margaret Fay Shaw, and although it is now fenced off, it still contains paintings that she made there. Her story's cut short as we stop in our tracks, sensing a shadow moving over our bodies. we look up to see a buzzard and watch silently as it swoops low and out of sight. Turning uphill, we pause to catch our breath. Standing next to the cut of a mountain burn, we watch and listen to its water babbling over stones. The sun dips behind cloud and returns within moments, drawing our attention to the green slope that extends below the basalt top. Linear pathways splice through the soft velvet, articulating the slope with lines of dark shadow. To the south, a ridge of cloud hangs above Sunday, a white island suspended, mirroring the land below. Continuing alongside the burn, we veer right, away from the path, and around to the other side of the hill. We look up at the majestic basalt with its pipe organ shapes towering above us. The name Compass Hill is derived from its effect on local ships, because this volcanic rock has such high iron content that nearby compasses are distorted, pointing east rather than north. Scrambling to the top, I look back west. I begin to notice how the basalt divides the hills into stratified layers, like a beautiful geology diagram. On our way back down, we stumble upon what appears to be the grass-covered remains of a stone wall. On further inspection, we begin to make out the form of an enclosure, a building. This must be the old shearling that is marked on the map. Shearlings are groups of small stone huts up on the hills, where at one time the women would bring the cattle and goats for the summer months. The herds benefited from fresh grazing in the lush high pastures, and the women would live alongside their animals, bringing all they needed for the season. Milking would have been their main task, as well as churning butter and cheese. This was also a time to gather wild plants, herbs for medicinal purposes, and lichen for dyeing wool. I stand in the middle of the ruins and try to imagine the walls growing taller into a building with a heather thatch roof. I wonder what it looked like. Later, I find out that this shearling is a group of at least 12 huts, some rectangular in form and some circular, most probably medieval. The air has grown cool, and we begin to wander back, picking up our pace to keep warm. As we rejoin the footpath, I reflect on the different marks within the landscape, lines that trace the island, from prehistory, through geological eras embedded in horizontal layers of rock and vertical mountain burns, and the crisscrossing of human activity, of well-trodden pathways and remains of shelters, and broken walls.